Hi, welcome to the Unslumped podcast. I am your host, Jennifer Beckham, and sitting next to me is my beautiful son,
Cole Beckham.
We are just starting today. I am so excited. This is our very first podcast, and we are just going to talk stuff. So the Unslumped podcast, I hope that you will totally lean in with us, because here's what we're going to do. We're going to learn how to recover, how to rebuild, how to reconnect. We're talking family and friends and relationships and trauma and transition and all the hard stuff in life and how to get through it together and stronger, right? And so we are also going to remind each other that we are not alone, because we are not alone, right? And so we are just going to kind of jump in today, but Cole?
Yes.
You're kind of involved in what Unslumped even means, right?
Yeah,
so we've been getting all kinds of messages regarding, like, what in the heck is Unslumped? Is that even a word? When I put it in my computer, it says it's not a word. It's a word. It is a word now.
Very much a word.
It is a word. And I'm going to tell you who made it a word, and it was Sir Dr. Seuss.
Absolutely.
I don't care what you feel about Dr. Seuss. He's just a genius. If you can just have all of these images and ideas in your mind and they end up being something that everyone knows. Mm-hmm. The Places You'll Go book is actually where the word unslumped or unslumping actually originated.
Absolutely.
So he made it a word. And the reason why I'm showing you that book is because this book is the reason for this podcast. It's the reason for the message that is so on our hearts that we want to just share with the world. And we know what it is to walk through life, to walk through challenges and hard times and trauma and transition. And when I mean transition, I mean all of the things. Like, there are transitions that we go through all throughout our life, and I'm told, this is what research says, that we go through 28 major transitions in our life. So we go through so many transitions in our lives, and the truth is that sometimes we don't do well transitioning from one season to the next, right? And this, like, Unslumped message and this book came about because you went through a transition in your life.
I did.
Where you went to college.
I did.
Yeah. And so we're just going to get started, but I'm a mom of two, and it's Cole and it's Jordan, and Cole is now married. So we're going to get into young married and all the issues that come along with that and the transitions there. But one of the things that we walked through was, not only did you first transition to college and you are my firstborn, and so I felt like, you know, my heart was literally walking around outside of my chest, right? Yeah. And moving 26 hours and 1 minute away from me.
Yeah.
GPS says 2601 was how far he was from me. And that
Kansas
was not going to be okay. Cole went to Kansas to play football. Mm-hmm. And we were a very close-knit family, always. And just having him leave and transition to that place, you were excited about this new season of your life.
Absolutely.
But I also knew that you had already battled through depression and anxiety and things like that. So I knew being 2601 away from us was going to be difficult.
It was a struggle.
It was going to be a struggle.
It was a huge struggle.
Yeah. So we're going to get into all of that in the Unslumped podcast, because we want to just talk about life and do life together and figure out how to stay connected through the hard times. Right. But you went to college, and I did what every, you know, good mom does. And I wanted to leave you notes, and I wanted to, you know, put together a letter or put together something that you can get your hands on when you were at college. That if you were going to be slumped at all, if you were going to, like, find yourself in that position of being at school and being lonely or regretting leaving or wanting to come home.
Wanting to come home a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wanted you that if you walked through a season of depression when you were out there, how do you get through that? Mm-hmm. And so what I did was we drove out to Kansas, and we took you, and we were going to be able to stay maybe a night or two before we had to leave you and drive home.
Yeah.
And I wanted so badly to leave you something that would be an encouragement. And so I bought this book because, The Places You'll Go is, like, the number one book that people buy for graduates going away.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever actually read this book, but it is...
It'll throw you through a few loops.
It's actually one of the most depressing books you'll ever read, but it is so life.
It is 100%.
It really is life.
Which is life in a nutshell. It's depressing
sometimes. It really, really is. And so I don't know if you got to read it. And I don't know if you know this, but it goes back to the, every single year, it goes back to the bestsellers list every year because so many people buy this book for their graduate. And so I bought this book for Cole. Right. And I remember we were in the hotel. And I just looked over at you, and Cole was a linebacker, so he's just a big dude. His legs, you can't see them, but they're tree trunks, I'm telling you. And
Quadzilla.
Yeah, that's what his daddy called him, Quadzilla. And the thing is that I looked over at you, and I saw just this big baby,
yeah.
Laying in his bed, and I was sitting on the couch. It was maybe 3 o'clock in the morning, and I looked over at you knowing that tomorrow morning I would have to wake up and leave you.
That was hard.
And head home. And he was over there just snoring away. And I sat on the couch and I just began to pray. I was like, Lord, you know, I prayed for you, but I also was like, what can I leave with him? And so I wanted to open the pages and actually write him just a note of how much of an honor it was to be your mom. It is to be your mom. And I knew your dad would write in it as well. So we, you know, we were trying to find the words. And so I figured that, you know what, I'll go ahead and I will open this book and I will read it a little bit. And if I read it a little bit, maybe it'll give me some idea of where to go. And it had been the first time that I ever read it. And when I read it, you know, it, you know, not very far into the book, you know, how it starts. I don't know if don't worry. I'm not going to just read you children's books on this podcast, but it's really important because it says, you have brains in your head and you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go. And I thought, this is a perfect book for him.
Yeah.
And so we started, you know, looking through it, and I started reading it, and it says, you know, you're going to go down streets and you're going to head straight out of town. And I'm like, yep, there you go.
Yep.
And then it says, it's opener there. It's wide open air. And then it keeps going and then it keeps going. And then it gets to this amazing point. It says, oh, the places you'll go, right? And so it's like, oh, here it goes. It's going to start talking about how much of a success that he's going to be. And I'm so encouraged. It says, you'll be up on your way. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang. I feel like I'm reading a children's book to you. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead wherever you fly. And I'm thinking, wherever you fly, Cole, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you'll be the top of all the rest. And you turn the page and it says, except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say, but sadly, it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you.
Yep.
You'll get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on, and you'll be left in a lurch. But when you come down from that lurch, you'll be an unpleasant slump, and the chances are then you'll be left in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. And the minute that I read that line, unslumping yourself is not easily done, me being the preacher that I am, I'm like, oh, that'll preach. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. So honest, right? Because if you've ever been in a slump before, if you've ever been through a hard transition, if you've ever been through anything that punched you in the gut, that was something you weren't expecting, that was something that is just difficult to handle,
right,
or even something exciting, like moving away to college or having a new baby or getting married. We get so excited for these moments, and then sometimes they're not exactly what we thought, or they don't pan out the way that, or they don't feel
yeah,
the way that we envision that they'll feel. And then we end up in a slump and we're like, what is wrong with me? What's the problem?
It's almost like the search is sometimes better than the find. It's literally what it feels like. It's like the road felt.
Absolutely.
You were expecting so much, and then when you finally get it, you think,
this is it.
This is it.
Right. This is it. Yeah. Is it. And so that is such a slumping feeling. It's like, oh my gosh. And then it's like, what's wrong with me that I'm at this place that I wanted to be for so long, and now it's not what I thought it would be. Yes. And so as you read the book, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to know that as you read the book, it does exactly that. It's like, yes, no, yes, no. And it's
a roller coaster
and
of emotions.
It's a roller coaster of emotions. It talks about the people that we'll meet in life. It talks about the loneliness that we'll feel. But then, and I didn't realize this when I bought you the book, and I don't know if anybody really reads the book and gets to this point where you read it and you get to the point where it says, and will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98.75% guaranteed. And I'm like, man, it's a cartoon book and we can't even guarantee that there'll be success in life. And that's exactly the truth. That there is no guarantee of how things are going to work out. And if we're truly going to succeed the way it's in our minds, right? Mm-hmm. And then you look at the back of the book and this is what it says. This book is 98.75% guaranteed to inspire. So it's not even, and it says, the rest is up to you. And the fact of the matter is, it is up to us.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we do get slumped, and unslumping yourself is not easily done.
No.
So what I ended up doing for you is that night I'm like, oh, that line will preach. So I sat down and I wrote Cole 10 ways to get unslumped if he finds himself in a slump. Mm-hmm. So it was called 10 ways to unslump yourself. And I wrote, and they were like simple things. Like
very simple things.
They were like, get your rest. Go ahead.
Yeah. Get your rest. Call your mama.
Call your mama was the 10th one. It was get your rest, take your vitamins, because we already knew that you getting magnesium and
very much
certain things that were in.
Everybody needs magnesium.
Yeah, certain.
Everybody needs magnesium.
We'll get to that too. But certain things, certain supplements, certain things that we can do on a daily basis help us to stay regulated.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that in self-care, we have to take care of ourselves or else we find ourselves in a slump sometimes. And we don't even know why, but we're overtired or we're out of balance or all of those things. And so I put together 10 ways to unslump yourself because unslumping yourself is not easily done. And they were simple, normal things like make yourself laugh, get in the word, encourage yourself, all of those things. And as you said, the 10th one was, and call your mama, right? And so those were those 10 things. And so I put it in the book, inside the book. And then, of course, Daddy and I wrote you a book in and of itself, right? And so this was my side and this was Daddy's side. And so I took those 10, I put them inside the book. And then I gave it to you. And he went off to college. And it was one of the hardest transitions of our life.
Absolutely.
For us, not being there.
Yeah.
As the crazy one in the house. And then also at school, right?
Yeah.
And so we'll get into kind of, that transition in your life and what that meant and some of the dark places that you went to and how we helped you. Things we did right, things we did wrong. But it wasn't until, COVID happened.
Yeah, that was.
So we did college. And then is it your first year or your second year that COVID hit?
So it was after my first year, springtime. So in the middle of my first year and second year.
Okay. So COVID hit and he was a football player. So it spread around the team multiple times, right? Mm-hmm. So you had COVID several times and then all of a sudden you came home for, I think it was spring break, and then you didn't go back. Because they kept you home, right? And that's kind of how it went for everyone all around the globe, right? Yeah. Same time frame. And so the world kind of closed down and then there we were. And then COVID hit really hard. And when I say it hit really hard, it hit our family
hard,
really hard because all of us got COVID and Daddy got COVID. And Daddy, as in my husband, his daddy, but I called him Daddy. And he got COVID and he was the only one that didn't make it out.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, we were pastors at the time and, he got, we're going up on 3 years.
3 years, August 16th.
August 16th was 3 years. So he got admitted to a hospital. And we can get into all the details in another episode, but he was hospitalized on July 29th. And, by August 16th, he was gone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was gone. The hospital was on lockdown. We could not go in and be with him to see him. Mm-hmm. He was the type of man that just needed people and his family around him at all times. And he spent his last 19 days completely and alone. Which killed us in and of itself, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, so unfair and so criminal, if you ask me. But at the same time, we all dealt with that blow so differently, and yet we had to deal with it together because we were a close-knit family who did life together. And so we did all of life together. We did the good, the bad, and the ugly together.
Yeah.
And we did some things right.
We did a lot of things wrong.
We did a lot of things wrong. As a mother, I did some things right. Hopefully we could talk about the right stuff, but I also did a whole lot wrong during that time. And so we're going to talk about all those things and coping and we're going to deal with the dark places, but we're going to deal with the light places too. Like where God showed his hand in such a powerful way.
And looking back on it now, it's very visible. You know, you don't see it in the moment, but his hand was all over it.
All over it. From the very get-go, from the very start. And how do you even say that, right? So if you're at a place right now where your world is falling apart, where it seems like everything that you planned is not panning out, where your faith in God and your faith alone is completely being rocked right now. Mm-hmm. I pray that you will receive the promise of hope. Jesus is our promise of hope.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, these words, the things that we're going to be sharing, those dark places and then the light coming in, that is the hope that we need. That like this is not going to last forever. Mm-hmm. Because in the moment, we feel like it will.
It's something just to hold on to just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the acronym for HOPE. There's so many. Everybody has something different. But for me, HOPE means hold on, pain ends. Hold on, pain ends. It does.
I like that.
It does. Like it's net, like grief is one of those things that it becomes a part of us. Like it we incorporate it and assimilate it into our lives.
Yeah. That was good. I never heard that before.
But the really, really hard pain that makes you not be able to get up, that does not last forever and it does end. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's where this book came back in.
Yeah.
Because after Anthony died and we were married for 25 years and we were just short of 25 years, like 2 months to go, 25 years, but we did everything together.
Yeah.
Like we ministered together, we shared the pulpit together, we traveled together. Everything we did was together. We were in ministry for 25 years together. And at the time we were pastoring. And so when I lost him so quickly, not only did I lose him, but I also lost the church that we were pastoring, which was also my community, my family, my friends, my support system, my structure, my daily structure. It was also my pulpit. Mm-hmm. Of where I was able to use my giftings, you know, that was gone. My income was attached to the church and through the ministry. And you and Jordan were, I want to say 20.
You were 20. I was 20. He was right before my 21st birthday.
Right. So you were 20. Cole was 20 and Jordan was 17.
Yeah.
And so they were already at the place of transition in their life out of our home. And so it was the time that Daddy and I were supposed to be empty nesting and enjoying life together and traveling and kind of like getting to know each other again now that the kids are out of the house. Right. And so that was the season that I was in. So not only did I lose all of that, but I also lost you guys in that you guys were moving out and moving on. And so I went from an entirely chaotic, crazy, amazing home of life and joy and fun and also, you know, hard times too, but just life.
Yeah.
I went from all that to standing in a completely empty house with no one.
Yeah.
And that was unbearable in so many ways. And I did not handle it well. I I shoulded myself for and meaning I shoulded. Like I
You called me out guard for a second.
No, I shoulded myself for like 2 years of I should be doing better. I should be further along. I'm a pastor. I should know how to handle this.
Right.
I love Jesus and I know that he will never leave me or forsake me, but I also should be better than I am right now based on God's love for me. And so don't should yourself, because when you do that, should begins with the same two words as shame, and you shame yourself into what you should be doing. And I'm telling you that when we transition into hard times, when we go through trauma or grief and we're in pain, all the shoulds have to fly out the window because we all deal with them differently. I did not deal well. And we'll talk about on this podcast, you know, and the different elements and all of those things, because regardless of your pain, whether you're burying somebody in the ground or you're experiencing loss in any way, whether it be the loss of intimacy in your marriage, losing your kids to college, losing a friend, losing a relationship, losing a job or a dream. You lost your dream.
Yeah. That was my dream since I was 8 years old.
What was it?
I wanted to play in the NFL. And if you asked me all the way up until the last year that I had in college, I would have told you, oh, yeah, I'm going to the NFL.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
There was not a shadow of a doubt in my mind that I was going to play in the NFL.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when COVID hit, it took your seasons away. It took your football away. You had been dating a girl for over 3 years, four.
Almost 4 years, yeah.
Almost 4 years. That relationship ended.
Ended.
And then you lost your dad, who was your.
So it was hit after hit. Like I every time I would get knocked down to my knee, I'll get back up and it would knock me down to my back.
Yeah.
So it was like everything just kind of piled on top of each other.
And daddy was not just your daddy. He was your best friend.
Absolutely.
He was your workout partner.
My workout partner, my best friend.
Your mentor, your pastor.
Yeah. He held a lot of roles in my life, 100%.
Yeah.
And that's when
And he was so present.
Oh, he never missed a practice, never missed a game, never failed to tell me how proud he was of me and how.
Call you up higher.
We can improve. Yeah. Any way that we can improve and get better, we were going to make those adjustments and we were going to be the best that we could be every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was super present in our lives. Always just the happiest, you know. Yeah.
He was really the anchor in our family. And when the anchor's gone, everything just kind of floats away.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I feel like we all did. We all handled things a lot differently. And
we all stayed together pretty well. But sometimes being together hurt.
Yeah.
There was a writer, he called it the porcupine dilemma. And he said that, you know, it's the idea that porcupines, in order to rough the cold, they have to huddle together in order to survive the freezing cold winters. And then at the same time, them huddling together to stay alive from the cold.
Stab each other.
Causes each other to stab one another and prick one another to the point where it hurts so badly that then you have to make a decision of, do I want to rough the cold or do I want to stay together and continue to hurt one another?
Yeah.
And hurting people hurt people, right? So we were hurting and we were trying desperately to stay together as a close-knit family with this missing piece that was just this huge chasm for us. And then also be there for one another, but we didn't know how to deal with.
We had no clue
being there for one another. Like that's not taught anywhere.
No, I mean you got to think that was. Whenever someone goes through a loss, they're not really prepared for it. I mean, it's their first time,
right?
You know, so you kind of just figure it out as you go.
You figure it out as you go, and you're trying to deal with your own, but then you're also trying to deal with each other's.
Yeah.
And so I know that I lost my dad, and this is part of the story too. I lost my dad to cancer when I was 14. So losing Anthony brought back everything from my dad. And so I remember being in a place as a kid where I didn't know how to help my mom who had just lost her husband, my dad. And I remember feeling so unable and unsure of what to say, how to be there for her. When I would see her crying, what do you say? When I would see her happy, that was confusing. It's like, why is she happy today? And it was just such a, like,
it's a whirlpool of emotions.
Yeah, a whirlwind. Or that.
Or the whirlpool. They all go around in circles.
Yeah. But it was, so I remember going through that. So I knew, so like I'd been the kid in the scenario and now I'm the adult in the scenario. So I knew what the kids were walking through. I knew what they were feeling when they looked at me. I wanted to make that better for them and have them not struggle. But at the same time, I needed to hurt. So it's like, well, I can't just bypass my own hurt because I want. And I just remember all of us trying desperately to. And so what you normally do in situations like that is you end up pulling away from each other.
Yeah.
And finding your own corner to grieve in.
Yeah.
Or finding something to cope with. And you found your now wife and Jordan found her now, you know, gonna be fiance here in a minute.
Yeah.
And so we all found our corners and tried to stay together yet at the same time. When I was in my darkest place, I had a friend by the name of Monica, who I will name because honestly, we're gonna talk about how do you support one another through pain, right? And we don't know what to do and we don't know what to say, and we need to get better than that. The better at that. The word of God tells us that we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Mm-hmm. And we suck at it as Christians.
Absolutely.
Right? We suck at that.
Yeah.
First of all, we don't rejoice with each other because we're jealous. Mm-hmm. And then we don't mourn with one another because we don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And because you're hurting, now it changes my world. And I really need you to go back to normal so that I can be normal. And that's hard.
That's very hard.
That's hard. So I was at a really, really low point, if I'm being honest. And what Monica did for me was so powerful. She said, listen, I'm off on Mondays and Fridays. I'm not going to ask you what you need, but I'm looking around your house and I can tell what you need. Cole and Jordan had moved to Miami in separate apartments, but in the same building. And they were doing life together in Miami when Anthony died. Mm-hmm. And so when Daddy died, we picked up a 20-foot U-Haul and packed it full of all of your stuff. And I drove it home with the kids in their car behind me and drove it home. And then all of their two apartments of stuff came into our home and right down wherever we could find a place for it in our entire house.
It looked like an episode of Hoarders.
It was nothing but stuff with trails through it. And, they say that, you know, your outside environment is a reflection of your inside. And sometimes, maybe need to see that again for somebody, but I looked around my house and I recognized this is a reflection of the inside of me, but it's also adding to what's going on inside of me.
Absolutely.
And I knew that I needed to clean out the house and I knew I needed to take down my marriage bed because sleeping in a king size bed, Daddy was a big dude. He was a power lifter, a weightlifter, a bodybuilder. He was a beautiful man and a large man.
Good looking joker.
He was a large, sexy man. And he just being in that king size bed without him, it was swallowing me alive. And so I needed to break that down. I needed to get some sort of normalcy in my life. And so Monica said, listen, I'm off on Mondays and Fridays. We're going to order you a dumpster and we're going to set it out front and we're just going to start going through your house. And that was the greatest thing. Listen, if you have somebody in your life who's hurting and struggling, just show up for them. Don't ask them what they need. They don't know. I didn't know what I needed. But at the time, Monica helped me so much because she said, I'm off on Mondays and Fridays. I'm just going to come over and help you. She didn't ask me. She told me. There were days that I lied to her and told her I was busy. And she's like, I'm coming anyways. And then I thanked her afterwards. But we cleaned out the house. We got to Cole's room. And this is where the book comes back in because.
If I could just say something, because this is just how my brain works. I have a movie quote.
Go.
Okay. So it's from my favorite movie. It's That Awkward Moment. And what you just said, just being there for somebody, there's a scene where Zac Efron breaks up with his girl, Ellie.
Hold on. Zac Efron is his bromance.
That's my bromance. That's my guy. All right. That's my guy. All right. I'll give him a nice firm hug. But what I was saying is.
With three pats.
He breaks
with
up.
With three pats.
Three pats. Just one, two, three. He breaks up with this girl and because he actually didn't attend her her dad's funeral. Mm. And he was just trying to patch things up and act like it never even happened. And she said, "You weren't there for me." Mm. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That's all relationships are, Jason, being there for someone when they need you." And that's literally what all relationships are. I mean, that's with friendships. That's with you're dating somebody. You're married to somebody. That's you're doing life together. Just when someone needs you, just show up. Be there.
You don't have to have right words.
You don't even have to say anything. Just like, let me sit with you. Because look, like in the Bible, look at Job. His friends, if his friends would have just sat there and been with him while mourning everything, it would have been a complete different Bible
story. Just shut your mouth.
Just shut up. Be there.
Especially Job's friends.
Like if they were just present, it would have been a complete different Bible story. But just being there for somebody, just offering comfort. Don't try to connect your trauma to their trauma, because those are sometimes the worst kind of people in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, "Oh, I know what you're going through." You may have the similar effect. Like you might, something may have happened to you similar, even if it was the exact same thing, like someone else lost their dad.
Yeah.
It's not, "I know what you're going through." It's, "I understand your pain." That's how it is, because my relationship could have been different. You know, it's complete different things.
Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. It is being there for somebody. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing too, though, that I was at a place in my life, I wouldn't let anybody be there for me.
Yeah. I hated those texts. Like people I haven't talked to in years, like text me and be like, "I'm here if you ever want to talk." And I'm like, "Brother, I didn't want to talk to you yesterday. Why would I want to talk to you now that something happened in my life that was horrible?"
Right. Or, "I haven't talked to you in 2 years. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But, you know, I was at that place where I wasn't letting people show up for me. Yeah. And I was isolating. Mm-hmm. And I was isolating because if I didn't isolate, I would be around people and then they would end up saying inadvertently, mm-hmm, things that triggered me or things that were just stupid. Like, I'm sorry. We've all said stupid stuff for people when they're grieving, right? We've all made remarks or said something insensitive and we didn't even realize it was insensitive until later on in life when we went through something and we realized, "Oh God, that's not helpful at all."
Why did I ever say that?
Like, I remember you used to say things like, you used to say, "If one more person asked me how I'm doing, I'm going to punch him in the head," because you're like, it's like, "Hey, how you doing?" It's like, "Let me tell you how I'm doing. I'm not doing well at all."
Or it's like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Or
how can he tell?
He's in a better place. Well, I'm sorry, but I want him here. Yeah, I don't care.
He's in a better place, but can he be here?
But can he be here, please? Yeah. And so I was at that place where it was just a jumbled up whirlpool of emotions. Yeah. No, whirlwind of emotions. And it was so hard. And it was so all the shoulds of I should be further along. So we were cleaning out the house. We had just cleaned out my bedroom, my master bedroom. You and Jordan, I didn't let you be a part of that because I didn't want to burden you guys with any of that. So you guys kind of went on your way and you found friends and went to the beach and did your thing. And it doesn't mean that you weren't hurting. It was just that I wanted you guys to go live.
Yeah.
And so I was dealing with the mess, so to speak, at the house. And I got to Cole's room because by that time, Cole had already moved out.
Right.
But you know what happens? Like, kids move out and they only take what they need and they leave you all the rest of their crap. Right. And so he left all the rest of his everything. So I go to his room next and I start going through things. And I was having a pretty okay day that day. And because sometimes you could be doing really, really good in the morning and then really, really bad in the afternoon. I got to Cole's room. I started going through his stuff and I came across his book that he had at college.
Yep.
And I opened it up and there was that 10 ways to unslump yourself. Mm-hmm. And I read through that. And then, of course, when I opened the book, I saw Anthony's handwriting and his message to you. And of course I lost it. Right. And that was just like, I was buried at that point, mm-hmm, but I went through his 10 ways to unslump yourself because unslumping yourself is not easily done. And I'm about a year, maybe a year and a half into the lowest part of my life. and I come across this book that I wrote for him, the 10 ways to unslump yourself that I wrote for him.
Yeah.
But it was for me right then at that season. Mm-hmm. And as I sat on the floor of his room and I bawled my eyes out, I saw those 10 things. And all of a sudden, God just said, it's time to unslump yourself. We're going to unslump yourself. Mm-hmm. And I looked at those 10 things and I immediately saw verses for all of them. I immediately saw unslumping yourself as not easily done. I saw unslumping as an acronym.
Yep.
And then the ways to unslump yourself. I saw that the U was that you have to unmask and be able to say, I am not okay. I am not faking this anymore. It's okay to not be okay. I am not okay.
Yeah.
I saw that the N was that we have to get to the nevertheless. We have to get to that place where we're totally honest with God and we're totally to that place where it's like, this is not fair. This is not okay. I did not deserve this. What is this? All of that, and be completely honest, get naked with God. There was the N, and get to the nevertheless. Like, I can't change it, but I am going to change what happens at this point.
Yeah.
Like, I am going to embrace where I'm at so I can get somewhere different. When you want to get somewhere in your life and you put it into a GPS, if I'm going anywhere, Cole, I'm going to have to put it in the GPS where my destination is. But guess what? It's going to ask me first.
Where are you?
Where are you right now?
Where
is your location right now so that you can get somewhere different? And what I knew was that I had to look at where I was at in order to get somewhere different.
Yeah.
And I was willing to do that at that moment. I saw unslumping. I knew that the S was source, to go back to your source, which was God, to go back, to run to him instead of running away from him, and to deal with it. And if I was mad at him, to tell him I was mad at him. If I was hurting...
I learned that.
Yeah.
I learned that I would always, and this was honest to God, this was pretty recent, that I actually learned how to talk to God, because I would always pray prayers. Like, when something would go wrong, I would always be like, God, I know you can figure it out. I trust in you.
Right.
But I realized that if this is really a relationship and that's exactly what he wants with us, me and God have had some pretty knockdown dragouts. Especially after, like, my dad passed away, that was like the first like taste I got of like, what are you doing? And then
like of all people,
like in my eyes, a perfect disciple. But it was
amazing and integritous recent, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And recently, after just dealing with a bunch of stuff, I'm like,
yeah,
all right, God, here I am. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why this is happening, but I'm going to need you to figure this out, please.
Yeah.
Like, and it's when things happen, it's okay to bring it to him instead of just trying to mask it over. Like, it's like a piece of crap in a pretty wrapped box. Right. Is literally what it's like.
It still stinks.
It still stinks. So if he really knows
seriously,
my heart, he knows what I'm thinking before I even say it. Me saying that, oh, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
God's got it. It doesn't mean that he believes it any more than I believe saying it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I really had to learn, was opening up.
Yeah. I saw the S as going back to source. I saw the S as changing your state, like sometimes just getting out of bed, regardless of what you want. So we'll go through all of those things. Like, the unslumping message came at the perfect time in my life. I thought I wrote it for Cole. I didn't write, oh, the places you'll go, by any means. Let's just clarify. But I wrote the how to unslump yourself, because unslumping yourself is not easily done, for him. And then years later, God brought it back to me for a time that I needed to be unslumped and I did not know how to get up, Cole.
It's a full circle moment.
I didn't know how to get up. And so he had to teach me, and he taught me through those 10 steps. And those 10 steps will end up being a book, and those 10 steps will end up being curriculum that I believe needs to be in schools and in colleges and for new moms and for new marrieds. And because we get to transitions in our lives and they are not easy, and we get slumped, and then we don't know how to get unslumped. And so that's what we're talking about on this podcast. That's where unslumped comes from. It's what it means. So anytime that we say that, you know, we're about getting you unslumped, and unslumping yourself is not easily done, that's where it's from. And so I'm thankful. I am so thankful for how Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for our good, mm-hmm. right? When we love the Lord and we're called according Absolutely. To his purpose. And so I know that God's working together all things for our good. And it may not look like it right now. And we can be on this side of it. And I say on this side of it, it doesn't mean that we don't have bad days.
No, of course not.
It doesn't mean that there isn't something that triggers us and that we just completely get leveled. You could see a smile on our face right now, but you don't know if I spent 10 hours on the floor yesterday, you know, mm-hmm. and we just don't know. And the fact of the matter is we have got, especially as the church and people of God and just believers, we have got to get better at rejoicing with those who rejoice and mourning with those who mourn. We've got to get better at how to be there for one another, how to endure the vulnerable, how to endure the dark places so that the light can show up.
We got to learn how to get on the level where people are. Because yeah, I remember, good. Like, literally, again, the story in the Bible with the woman at the well. He literally got down to her
John
level.
4.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He got down to her level. And that's what a lot of us have to do is we're not on this side saying, hey, come over, it's fine, it's all good, it's going to be okay. We're over here knowing that we took a couple bumps, we fell a few times,
massive
we got
detours.
Back up. Massive detours, you know, because nothing with God is a straight line.
No.
But we're on this side, and we're not higher than you because we've made it through. We're on your level
right
now. We're
still making it through.
We're still making it through. We're not moving on, we're pressing on. You know, but we're on your level with you, and we want to be on your side, and we want to do life with you the way that Jesus intended us to do.
And we want to just live it out loud and say, look, this is what we did, and this is where we fell, and these are the things that we did right and the things that we did wrong. And if you're in that place, not shame yourself or should yourself that you're supposed to be somewhere else. Right where you are is exactly where you're supposed to be.
Amen.
And wherever that is on a daily basis, we need to get better at, instead of saying, how are you, saying, where are you? Where are you today? Where are you today? Are you in a good spot? If you're not in a good spot, how can I be here for you? Or, you know, all of those things. It's just really good, healthy conversation. It's not always it's not always comfortable. In fact, Jordan often tells me that I have a Debbie Downer ministry, and I don't. She doesn't mean that in a bad way. It's just that she knows that. Well, I know you do too. Yeah. Cole and I love to talk about the dirty stuff. I want to roll up my sleeves and get into the pit with you. It is the only way to bring you out, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even have to get out right now. Let's just sit in here together. Just know that you're not alone. Just know that you're not alone.
No one is alone.
No. Well, no one is alone unless they just choose to be. And that's what I used to say in schools when we did schools. You're only as alone as you choose to be. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to be alone through the hard times. And we can encourage each other. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. So we're going to learn how to recover. We're going to have to learn how to rebuild and rebuild well. How to reconnect instead of just canceling one another. You hurt my feelings and you weren't there for me, so I cancel you. Mm-hmm. This cancel culture is awful.
It's crap, bro. And I'm in the generation that made it.
And it shouldn't be happening within our families. We should learn how, listen, when you dance with someone, you step on their feet, you step on their toes.
That's good.
And the fact of the matter is if we're going to do life right and we're going to do it together, then we're going to hurt one another and we're going to say stupid things and we're not going to react the way that you expected us to. And we're going to feel like we're alone, even though we're together. And so what do we do with that? So let's learn how to recover, rebuild, reconnect, and to just remind ourselves that we are not alone and that we're here for one another. And so that's what Unslumped is all about. The Unslumped podcast, please invite your friends. Please invite anyone who's going through a hard time, or if you've been through a hard time and you are on, quote, the other side to where you can see straight again. That's all that means, is that you can see straight again and that you can see a future. Because here's the thing. Without a vision, the people perish. And that is a scripture in Proverbs. But what we need to understand is this: without a vision, people perish. One version says, without a vision for your future, you'll always return to your past. And without a vision, one version says you'll run amok, that you'll literally just rebel and run amok and go crazy. And so sometimes when we've lost our vision for our future, we don't know what tomorrow holds, and we don't know because we've been rocked and we don't know what tomorrow holds. If we can't catch a vision, we're going to run amok. We're going to rebel. We're going to isolate. We're going to hurt. We're going to hurt one another.
Yeah.
And so we're going to get through this together.
Absolutely.
We're going to get through that. We're going to laugh a lot. We're going to cry. Listen, we're going to go into one of these episodes here. Don't go away, because this isn't just about grief in burying someone. This is about life stuff. Cole has only been married for how long?
A year and a trip in 4 months.
3 or 4 months? Right. He's asking Gavin because Gavin is outside the store right now.
A year and four months.
So they got married in March, and yep. And they've been married 1 year and 4 months. And let me tell you something. They just went through
the hardest so far.
Right.
I know I'm not gonna say things won't be bigger later on life when we have kids and everything, but so far it has been my giant.
Yes.
And it followed me into my marriage.
Yeah. Yeah. So Gavin is helping Cole to heal right now, but it's also hurting her. So, man, there's just so much to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about new marriages, young marriages. I was married for 25 years and I believe had a phenomenal relationship with my husband.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean that we were always happy. It just means that we continue to choose to get through it together. Right. And, he was an amazing man, and we're going to talk about marriage and young marriage and struggles and addictions and how to overcome and how to be there for one another in addictions, all of those kind of things. So here in the next couple of episodes, we're going to deal with young marriage, the challenges with that. We're going to talk about pornography. We are going to talk about, Gavin's story. Gavin is Cole's wife. She's got such an amazing story.
Huge testimony
in her, and she's not on the other side of it. She's still dealing with it. Mm-hmm. There's alcoholism in her family and a lot of pain that she's had to endure with her closest loved ones. And, there's a lot of hurt there, and yet she is so far beyond her years of dealing with stuff. And so we're going to deal with the perspective of being an adult in hard times, a child on hard times, just coming into adulthood, and just perspective, man, so that we can just understand each other.
Yeah.
Right. To understand what each other are going through from our vantage point.
Literally. If you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go further, go together. So that's pretty much.
Ooh, you must be a preacher. Cole's just entering into full-time ministry, to following after the footsteps of his daddy and his mama.
Yeah.
And so there's just so much to learn together, right?
Yep.
And there is. And so we're just going to do it in front of y'all. We're going to have Jordan on at some points, her fiance too. I say fiance, I'm sorry. They're not actually engaged yet, but
not yet.
Yeah, just not yet. In a minute.
God, our blessing.
And, but yeah. And so we're just going to do family together. I have a friend who, one of my best friends who has absolutely endured hell within her marriage, and endured, multiple affairs within her marriage, more than two handfuls over, and stayed 23 years just believing and trusting that God was going to do a miracle, and that miracle did not come. And what do you do with that? Right?
What do you do when God says no?
Yeah. What do you do? Yeah. Because it's always yes, no, or wait. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't know if we're in the yes, the no, or the wait. And, you know, what does that look like? And how do you decipher whether or not you're in the yes, the no, or the wait? How do you know when to call it quits? How do you know when to stay long? How do you know that you've stayed too long? She stayed 23 years under a ton of abuse. Is that what God expects of us? Right. So, what's the difference between grace and being a doormat?
Mm.
Okay. That's going to be a whole another episode
too.
There's so much to discuss and so many of these things that we don't have the answers to, but here's what I know. Sometimes we don't have the answers, but with the right perspective, we can get through anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're going to do on the Unslumped podcast, is we are going to share perspectives. We are going to learn from one another, and we're going to grow. And hopefully where we grow is not only together, but we grow closer to the God who has a plan for us that is far beyond anything that we can imagine. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11.
It's tattooed on my bicep.
It's tattooed on his bicep.
Behind my wife's ear. Yep.
And it says,
I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but plans to give you hope and a future.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Everyone loves that scripture, by the way. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize and recognize that that scripture, if
it's a promise.
It's a promise, but it's a promise to a people. When God was saying to them, I'm coming to deliver you out of captivity, but I'm not coming for another 70 years. So hold tight, hold fast, and endure.
Hold fast.
And endure. And so the thing is we look at that scripture like, oh, that's an amazing promise. God's coming to rescue me. He's got a plan and a future for me. That's amazing. But the fact is that scripture contextually was given to God's people when he wasn't coming immediately to rescue them.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, what do you do? What do you do in the waiting room? What do you do in the meantime? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what Unslumped is about. We wanted to be able to share our vision with you, share our mission and our hope with you, and to let you know that, man, we're going to go to some dark, deep places, but we're also going to talk about such good, powerful lessons that we've learned.
What is that quote? It's the diamonds are formed under pressure, seeds grow in the dark. I can't remember the third one.
That's good.
But if you're in a dark place, or
we'll put it up on the screen.
We'll put it up on the screen. I can't remember the quote right
there
now
it is.
On the top of my head, but that is the quote. I said it in a podcast with a buddy a long time ago, but that's really something that, I mean, I completely feel like you're in that place. You're in a place of beautiful, you're in a beautiful place. You're in a place of transformation. You know? I mean,
it doesn't feel beautiful.
No,
sometimes. And if
you're
watching this and you're like,
it is dirty,
I'm shutting them off because they're too happy for me having just gone through a struggle. You may be, you may be 10 days into it. And if you are, and you are at the hardest point in your life, be there, just be there and don't be alone. If you can help it,
just keep showing up,
but know that you are not alone. Yeah, no, it's awesome. Yeah. It's an awesome journey. And it is awesome pain at times. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing when you can get to the place where you can sit behind a screen on a microphone and talk about it as though it's something that we've overcome largely. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that 4 days ago I was not able to get out of my bed. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to talk about all of it. So. Yeah. I'm excited.
So stick around, man.
So, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Phenomenal book, by the way. But listen, if you're going to pick it up and actually read it. It is the closest thing to life that you will ever read. And again, there is not a guarantee that it'll all be beautiful. But as it says in the back, the rest is up to you. And it is up to us. Thankfully, we are not alone. The Bible does say, and I mentioned it already, that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will go all the way, even into the end. Mm-hmm. So know that regardless of what you feel right now, you're not alone.
Nope. Take it day by day.
Take it day by day.
Matthew 6:34.
Sometimes hour by hour. Yep. Sometimes hour by hour. But we're here for you, and we're going to be doing life together. So please join us. Please tell your friends about us. And join us over on our YouTube channel. Join us over on wherever podcasts are found. And we're going to do this together.
Yeah.
Good job, Cole.
Thank you.
Yep. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.